This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ما بعد، اليوم 3 من شهر شعبان 1445 الموافق ل 13 من شهر فبراير 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات، ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الواحد الأحد، we continue from where we stopped last درس. And if I'm not wrong, last week we were supposed to begin with a new chapter. باب استحباب الذهاب إلى العيد وإيادة المريض والحج والعمرة والجنازة ونحوها من طريق ورجوع من طريق آخر لتكثير مواضع العبادة. This is a new chapter that will talk about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to going to Eid and visiting a sick person and going to Hajj and also Umrah and also accompanying the janazah to the grave and other matters that share the same nature with these ones. مِن طَرِيقٍ وَرُجُوعٍ مِن طَرِيقٍ آخَرٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use a way and come from another road. You get it? For instance, if he used this road to reach the place, when he is coming back, he used another one. And Nawawi says, so that he will increase, you know, his approach to the mawadu al-ibadah. You get ideas? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ إِذِن تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. Any place you use to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to witness this moment when you meet him on the Day of Judgment. تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. أَخْبَارَهَا means whatever people, you know, do on earth, in those areas they will be witnessing. For instance, we sit down to study. Yeah, this place in particular is going to witness this bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla on the Day of Judgment for us, inshaAllah. Whatever you do in any place, the place is recording what has been done. So your movement to a place for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attain an act of worship is going to be recognized by those places, and it will be shahid for you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to have more and more, so he will come from this way, and when he's coming back, he will use another way. قال وعن جابر كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان يوم عيد خالف الطريق. جابر رضي الله عنه said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the day of Eid, when he goes to the masjid, he will do the مخالفة الطريق. He goes to the masjid from this way, and also comes back to his home using another way. Somebody might say, but the house is connected to the masjid, right? So what does he mean by that? But then don't forget, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't pray Eid in the masajid. And that's the best to be done, but almost it's hardly to find a place where this is being applicable. The best to be done is to go to an open area where the whole community will come. Because this is the biggest gathering, bigger than Jummah. Yeah, and Jummah and people of this area, they come into the masjid. That's why if there is no permission from the Imam, it's wrong to have so many masajid for Jummah closer to each other. Because it kills the purpose of the Jummah itself. You get the idea? This is the tajammu al-mujtama. The community should come and gather in that place. You have the bigger one, which is the Eid. In the Eid, the entire community, those areas, you know, in every street, you know, every mantaqa, you know, they come and gather weekly in the masjid. On the Day of Eid, you know, which is taking place on the yearly basis, we're supposed to have everyone in the community coming in one place. Big gathering. This is good for Islam, actually. It's good for Islam. It's quite interesting. It shows how powerful is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is to take place in that way. Because al-jama'atu quwwa, having large and huge population, is a strength and power. Contrary to what they are feeding our brain with, you know, because there are some people who are aiming, you know, and fighting and struggling to see how they will depopulate, you know, the earth, because they say the population is beyond its limitation, you know. They want to reduce that. Yeah, we have heard this a lot, you know. Subhanallah. As if they are Rabbul Alameen. You Allah. Some of these guys, they nasabu anfusahum Rabbal Lilbariya. They put themselves as Rabbul Alameen. You know, because who has the right to tell you that, yeah, this population is too huge, therefore we should reduce, you know? And who should live, who should... We have heard all of these stupidities. To them, there are some people who don't deserve to live. You get an idea. This is against the common sense, you know? I'm not even going to say against Islam, against the common sense, to say that there is somebody who doesn't deserve to live. Yeah, the only person in Islam who does not deserve to live is a person who is killing others. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says that the blood of a believer is not halal except when he does one of the three things. An-nafsu bin nafsi. He kills somebody, he also has to go. Yeah. Wa-thayyibu zani. Or the person who committed zina after becoming a muhsan. Muhsan means he had a sexual relationship in a legal marriage. When he commits zina, he has to be executed. But tariqul deen, and the person who committed apostasy. Yeah, these are the criminals on earth who did not want, stability and peace to take place on earth. Islam will do everything possible to rectify them. If they are not going to be rectified and they start transgressing their limit to go to others, then Islam will send them to the waste. Yeah. Other than that, to come and just say, oh, this person is not smart enough and therefore he doesn't deserve to live. Who are you? A'udhu billah. So we have to be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that one of his blessings, when he talked to Bani Israel, he said, remember, one of my blessings upon you is that I make you akthar nafira. You are the vast majority is the strength and the power. We all know this. Yeah. And this is what Islam is aiming for. So in the Jummah, this gathering has to take place, in a larger, form. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take people out of his masjid. Because he's expecting everyone in Medina to come. The entire community is supposed to be there. People from Dawali, people from this, people from that. Everyone is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used to go out of Medina and get a space, open space. Yeah, everyone would come. And as I told you, we want Jama'ah, right? That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let everyone come. Including the sisters who are on their menses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they should be in the masjid also. They should stay away from the musalla. They should stay away from the musalla, the place where people are praying, but they should be there, nearby. يَشْهَدَّ الْخَيْرَ وَدَعْوَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ They witness the good and the da'wah of the Muslimin. يَشْهَدَّ الْخَيْرَ وَدَعْوَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ They witness the good and also the da'wah of the Muslimin. So at least, if they don't pray, at least they get the du'a that the believers are going to be making in that place. And also their existence in the place shows one of the sha'ira min sha'iriddin. That's why Eid is sha'ira min sha'iriddin. And one of the most components of Eid is to have a huge gathering, everyone is there. Yeah. After that you have the bigger one, which is the Hajj, which is the Hajj. In Hajj, everyone is coming. So Muslims from all over the world are going to gather in that place, subhanAllah. And that's why one of the main objectives of Hajj is the unity. So don't forget, we're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he goes to Eid, since it is in the Musalla. Musalla means an open area where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam selected it for the prayer. One of you should have. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will go to the Eid using one way and come back using another way. Good idea. So as I said, in Hajj, this is also what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. Yeah, as we're going to see in the second hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will use a path, through the Dhul Hulayfa, and he will come back using another path also. قال وانا عبد الله بن عمر ان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخرج من طريق الشجره ويدخل من طريق المعرس واذا دخل مكه دخل من الثنيه العليا ويخرج من الثنيه السفلى عبد الله بن عمر said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Whenever he goes out of Mecca, he will go out of Mecca through the way of the Shajara. This is a Shajara to Dhul Hulayfa. Dhul Hulayfa is the Miqat to Ahlul Medina, the place where the people of Medina make Ihram for Hajj or Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you remember in Kitab al-Hajj, he says, the companion says, وَقَّتَ رَسُولَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ Dhul Hulayfa. ولأهل الشام جحفة ولأهل اليمن يلملم ولأهل نجد قرن المنازل ولأهل العراق على قول ذات عرق. These are the five places which are assigned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the people who are coming to Masjid al-Haram for worship. Nobody is allowed to pass and to cross any of these mawaqit without making intention. The farthest one to the Kaaba is Dhul Hulayfa, the one in Medina, about 450 kilometers. Yeah. That's the farthest one. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he goes out of Medina, when he approaches Dhul Hulayfa, he will use the Tariq al-Shajara. It's a specific place where they have that specific tree that they're referring to. وَيَدْخُلُ مِنْ تَرِيقِ الْمُعَرَّسِ. And when he comes back, he will come back using the Mu'arras. What is Mu'arras? Mu'arras is a place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do the ta'aris. وَالنُّزُولُ اللَّيْلًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he approached Medina, he usually have a place where he stopped first. SubhanAllah. You never see manhaj like the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he approaches Medina, he will come to a place and stop in that place. You get it? What he is doing, we call it at-ta'aris. What does he do? He will rest and fix himself, because he's just coming from a battle. So the believers, they will fix themselves, they will get ready to enter Medina. And while they were staying in that place, they will send somebody to Medina. They don't want to caught anyone on surprise. They will send somebody to Medina that we are about to enter Medina. So the news will be widely spread in Medina. Yeah. The people who have spouses and wives will understand this. Those without wives, they don't know why. Why? They just go home. Hafizahumullah. But the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained why this has to be done. He says, so that the one who is not prepared amongst the wives, she would get ready for her husband. You know, you see, the one who is not prepared, because the husband is not around, so she has the freedom to live in the way she is. The hair is messy, you know, the body is whatever she wants to do, because she's alone in the house. You know. But now if the husband is to come and find her in this way, you might be inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The next, you will go to Kareem looking for the next one. This one doesn't qualify. Anyway. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will send somebody to go to Medina and inform everyone that we are on the way. He says, so that the sister will prepare to receive their husbands, you know, when they reach them. Very good and excellent system, Iwallah. Very good and excellent system. Because not everyone can tolerate to see his wife in an inappropriate way. And imagine after being absent from the family for quite long, and now he is coming to his family, and then he found her in a situation which is inappropriate for him to approach her in that moment. He would be badly disappointed. And whose fault was that? It was his fault, because she doesn't know he is coming up. Why would he impose it on her that she has to keep beautifying herself even if he is not around? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So therefore, I go to my family before marriage, I surprise them. They just find me in front of the door. Everyone will be shocked and nobody cares about that. But after you marry, it doesn't go like this. You have to let your wife come in that you are coming, so that she will be ready for you. Yeah. Don't say, I don't care. No, you care. And you will care. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. And that's why it is excellent sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be followed. So there is a place where he used to stay, you know, to stop in that place at night, so that everyone will be informed that he is going to enter Medina very soon. That place is called Al-Mu'arras, because of what is done in the place at Ta'aris. Is that clear? So when he is going out, he used the Tariq al-Shajara. When he is coming back, he used the place of the Mu'arras, different way. You get the idea? وَكَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ مَكَّةَ دَخَلَهَا مِنَ الثَّنِيَةِ الْعُلِيَّةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gets inside Makkah, he will get inside Makkah from the Thaniyat al-Uliyah, the upper part of Makkah. Al-Thaniya, they said this is Al-Makan Al-Ali, Al-Tariq Al-Ali. The road that is a bit high on top. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to use that road. If I'm not mistaken, this is the Tariq Al-Kudan. I don't know whether the athar of that is still there, but since we were there, we still have a sign of this place, being written by the authority, so that person will see that, yes, this is where the Prophet ﷺ used to come to Makkah through. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ وَيَخْرُجُ مِنَ الثَّنِيَةِ السُّفْلَى. And whenever he goes out, he uses the lower part of Makkah, the thaniya, that is the lower thaniya. So all of these are supporting the chapter that Imam al-Nawawi says, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when entering places. So these are the hadith, I guess, quoted by Imam al-Nawawi. Okay, the next chapter is the chapter of istihbabu. Taqdeemu al-yameen fi kulli ma huwa min babi al-takreem. The istihbab of taqdeem al-yameen fi kulli ma huwa min bab al-takreem. You know, using the right side, you know, when doing anything that is noble in Islam, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is kareem, whatever has value, when you're doing it, you start with the right. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kamada kal wudu, when making wudu, you start with what? With the yameen and then the yasar. Wal ghusl, when you are taking ghusl, you start with the yameen and then the yasar. How do you start with the yameen and ghusl? Shaq al-Ayman, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ghusl is very simple. Yeah, very simple way. Aisha radiallahu anha and Maymuna, they describe the ghusl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing he did, he would take water and wash his private part, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he will hit his hand to the wall to get some clay, and then he washes his hand. So nowadays, since we have the soap, yeah, you don't bring clay to the bathroom. Yeah, you just use the soap and wash, clean your hand to remove whatever is affected, you know, on your hand. Stick to your hand of whatever you're washing. After that, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make wudu. Okay, kawudu he is salah, just like the way he's praying, as if he's going to pray. You know, just the wudu, like the wudu he does when he prays. And then after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take water with both hands and put on his head and rub every part of the hair. He will do that three times and go deeply inside. You know, he has long hair most of the time until the shoulder, or sometimes for uznaihi. Yeah. Or sometimes he cut, you know. Yeah, Rasulullah doesn't do takalluf, you know. Goes in all. So he used to rub inside. Aisha said, "Hatta idha dhanna annahu qad arwa basharatahu," until the time he believes that now the water reached the usul al-sha'r, the root of the hair. And then afada ala jasadihi al-ma, he will pour water on his body, starting with the right side and then the left side. This is the tayammum fi al-ghusl. He start washing with the right side and then the left side. Sometimes when he is making wudu, he will wash everything except the feet. He would delay them until the last minute. And then the last minute, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will wash the feet. He will move from his position wherever he was taking ghusl to another position. Then he washed the feet in that place. You get the idea? Yeah, don't forget, in their time, you know, they don't have what we have now, the kind of the towels on the floor. You know, they wash themselves in a muddy place. So, you know, the foot also might not be okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to another place to wash the feet properly. So you can just wash, you can just make wudu until the end, or you can delay the feet, you know, until the end, and then you wash the feet. After doing this, you just go on and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to make wudu again. After doing this, you don't need, it wasn't the part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make wudu after the ghusl. Because wudu is the mini tahara. The ghusl is a major one. If the small tahara has the capacity to purify you, to make you able, to give you ability to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the biggest one should do that. You get an idea. And that's why, according to the best opinions of the scholars, when a person takes a ghusl, he doesn't need to make wudu again, he just go on and pray. This is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What tayammum, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make tayammum, also he starts with the yameen and then the yasar. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wears the clothes, he will start with the yameen. How to start with the yameen? When you're wearing the clothes, how to start with the yameen? So I should put the hand first. Okay, that's correct. Okay, I thought he was going to say that I should put from the side of the... And then you put the right hand and then the left hand will go inside. What tana'ul? Wal-na'al. Wal-na'al is the shoes. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wears the shoes, you start with the right. Wal-khuf, and also the khuf. Yeah, these are the socks, right? And they're alike. Was-sarawi, and the trousers, right? And these are the pants. ودخول المسجد, when you go into the masjid, he also start with the right. والسواك, the siwak. Can we start with the yameen? Yeah, we can also start with the yameen. Siwak is really important sunnah which many of us are not doing. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaltufu bina. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُمِرْتُ بِالسِّوَاكِ حَتَّى خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ أَسْنَانِ. He said, Allah commanded me to do the siwak all the time until the time I started to have a fear of my gums to be affected. That's why when he goes inside the house, the first thing is siwak. When the Prophet ﷺ wakes up from the sleep, the first thing is siwak. And the last thing he did before leaving this dunya was siwak. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, if not because of the fear that I will make it difficult upon my ummah, I will tell everyone that it is obligatory upon you to do the siwak whenever you come to the prayer. That's how important is the siwak. Some of the scholars gather the benefit of the siwak. There are a lot of manafi. It strengthens the gum. It kills the germs. Especially when you use what was used by Rasulullah ﷺ, shajar al-araq. They still have it in Saudi, and they brought it also here, although the one that you see here is chemically preserved. There you can find the soft. That's why it's good for somebody to look for the seed and come and grow it here. Ya Allah. If you're good, you can do it as a business, and business also promoting the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, why do we wait for the chemically designed one? That might create ulcers in the mouth sometimes, from time to time. And it smells. If you can get the fresh one, you know, why not? You get an idea. So these type of things is good for a person to, you know, take initiative and do that for the ummah. So I really advise that a person should have siwak and do it from time to time. As I said, it has a lot of benefits. The Prophet ﷺ said, As-siwaku matharatun lil-fami wa mardatun lil-rab. He said siwak is matharah lil-fam, meaning it means that purifies your mouth. Wa mardatun lil-rab, and it brings you the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. It brings you the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that there is a hadith that says if you read Quran, an angel will come and put his mouth in your mouth. Get it? That means you should be smelling good. And this is actually generally the behavior of Rasulullah. كَانَ يَكْرَهُ أَن تُشَمَّ مِنْهُ رَائِحَةً كَرِيهًا كَانَ يَشْتَدُّ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا شُمَّ مِنْهُ رَائِحَةً كَرِيهًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to find it very difficult for somebody to smell something bad from him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam طيب حيّن وميّت لكن مع ذلك Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان مُدِيمًا لِلْعَتَرِ. You know, his smell, natural smell is beautiful, it's excellent, you know. But still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is adding on top of that beauty, another beauty also, which is the physical or the artificial one, which is the itr, the perfume. He uses perfume a lot. You know, So siwak, perfume, you know, little and moderately. Yeah, and try to use the one that the vast majority of the people like. Yeah, because there are some which might be causing some people hassasiyah, you know. But that was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal-iktihal. Al-iktihal. What is the iktihal? Using the eyeliner. Yeah? Eyeliner is good if it is not going to make you look like a sister. Yeah, if you look like a woman, then it is haram for you to put eyeliner. Not in itself, but because you're imitating the sisters. Yeah, there is a good one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we should use. It is called al-ithmid. Yeah, alaykum bil-ithmid. بالإثمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said فإنه يجل البصر وينبت الشعر. It strengthens the quality of the eyes. It helps you to see properly بإذن الله عز وجل, and it helps your hair also to grow. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, however, you have to be very careful, otherwise you will be feeding your eyes with none other than the sand, you know, in the name of إثمت. That's what our scholars mentioned, that you have to be very careful. Not everything that is said to be ithmid is ithmid. Just like the ajwa. Not everything that is said to be ajwa is ajwa. Not everything that is said to be black seed is black seed. You know, these people are top criminals. What they do, they take the black seed and they mix it with the sesame oil. You know, that one is raqiq. When they put the black seed, it will take over. Because it's dark, it will take over and the smell will be the same. So if you're not an expert, you will not be able to differentiate between the good and the bad one. The same goes to honey. All of these things, you know. That's why some of us will say, if they eat honey, they got sick. Check and see what you are eating, you know. I remember a student, I told him, take honey. He said, no, whenever he eats honey, he gets sick. I said, yeah, you don't take the good one. I gave him one that I bought from somewhere. Subhanallah, from that moment he kept on looking for it. Never got sick again. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Inshallah, we continue from where we stop next week. And next week the class will be online. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, because I will not be around, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Harab al-Sa'il. The first one is about ghusl. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. The first question is about somebody who finishes the Hayd, but she was at work and there is no time for her to, I mean she cannot make ghusl, what must she do, right? In this case, since we're talking about work, usually this happens in the morning and evening, afternoon, right? The best for her is to delay the Dhuhr prayer, to intend combining both of them. For her, this is the Hajjah. You get it? It's okay for her to combine both prayers, so she should make intention of combining Dhuhr. Let's say it finishes before the time of Dhuhr. That means Dhuhr is obligatory upon her. Or right after the time when the Dhuhr time begins, you know, before the time of Asr, that means Dhuhr is obligatory upon her. So she will make intention to delay Dhuhr until Asr time. Yeah, so she should try to reach home before the sunset. Get that and go and make ghusl and then pray both prayers at the same time. Yeah, this is an excuse that will justify combining two prayers for her, inshallah. No, she can't. Well, why can't she do that? Yeah. Why can't she do that? If it is, let's say she walks at night. Yeah, she finishes before the midnight. Yeah, she waits. She delays Maghrib until the Isha time. As long as she can pray them before the midnight, then it's okay. Get it? Yeah. However, if not, then she has to take excuse. You know, the authority in that place, they have to understand that she's a woman. She's responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. They have to excuse her. Yeah. I don't think it will be an issue. Bismillah azza wa jalla. Just go home and do the necessary and come back. You know, inshallah.
Does she have to
pray Fajr? No. When the Hayd finish, the sister has to monitor the time it finishes. If the Hayd finish after the sunrise, Fajr prayer is not wajib upon her. Already gone. If the Hayd finishes after the sun, you know, the size of the shadow of an object double its height, that means the whole time is over. When it's finished after this moment, Dhuhr is not obligatory upon her, according to the best opinion of the scholars. What is obligatory is Asr. Yeah, she just try to understand when does the Hayd finish. Only that prayer that she catches, she will be making up. Yeah, other than that, no. You know.
Sure. If this sister suspects, for example, from the night before that admission, that maybe she already cured, but then she checks before sleeping, realizes that she's still not pure, is it wajib on her to wake up for
Fajr
and to check? Is it wajib for her to check?
I know, she sleeps normally. Yeah, she should wake up and check and see Fajr time. That's what when we wake up, you know, and then check and see whether she's pure or not. Yeah, but she still had to keep on to remain awake. I know, just act normally. You know, Islam is very simple. You know? Otherwise, some of them, if you tell them this, you might be staying over the night, you know, out of the fear that she might miss Fajr. No, it's okay, just sleep normally. Even if she missed the time, if she's sure that the purity came before the Fajr time finishes, then that prayer is wajib upon her. For her, she can just make it up. She pray at that moment, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna dhalika waqtu her." You know.
Finish?
when he comes. You know, and she should try, you know, if a sister, this is a question that talks about a sister who has her own abaya, she's going for Umrah or Hajj, but she already washed it with soap that has nice fragrance. You know, the smell is good, you know, smells like perfume. And you know, the muhrim doesn't use perfume, right? So my advice is she should try not to do that, you know, on the clothes which she'll be going with. And however, the scholar said, what count is the smell that happens after the ihram? Not the smells that was there before the ihram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put perfume on his skin and then puts the ihram. For sure the ihram is going to pick up some of the perfume. And then he make ihram and go forward. To get idea. So what count is putting the perfume after the ihram. Not the perfume that was there before the ihram. And I will advise anyone to avoid these type of things, you know, just get a plain one that doesn't have any perfume. To avoid any controversial, you know, discussion concerning your case among the scholars, you know. However, when it happens, it becomes a reality. Do we invalidate the ihram of that sister? Obviously not. Yeah, I will advise her to stay away from it, but if she already does, inshallah, it's fine. Be the last question. Finish? What is that?
How do we choose a leader?
That question is an interesting question. It will take time. We will answer it next class, inshallah. Okay, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.